Welcome to Business Recharged Podcast with your host, the Queen of Content and CEO of the Mac Institute, Dr. Felicia Mack.
Welcome to Business Recharged Podcast, where we focus on recharging your business and life to create holistic success. I'm your host, Dr. Felicia Mack, and I've worked with thousands of men and women to successfully recharge their business and life, create passive income with ease. I'm a boy mom. I am obsessed with the wins that my tribe is getting on a day-to-day basis. And today, I am super excited about our episode because we have the amazing Stephanie Mojica, and she is drawing on her 17-year tenure as an award-winning journalist with publications such as USA Today, the Philadelphia Inquirer, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Virginian Pilot, among others. Her greatest passion is working with entrepreneurs, coaches, and licensed professionals such as attorneys and psychologists to craft their stories into books that draw clients to them. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Felicia. It's really an honor to be here today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited about our time together. I mean, you know, you are an individual. We have very like-minded, you know, in general, because, you know, you love writing, you love all things editing and consulting, and I'm here for it all. So today we're going to dive into a lot of that, but I just want to start off. Can you just share how you got started on your journey?
So I've been writing since I was 8 years old. You know, my late grandmother was a published author and writer. My mother does writing, although she works more in Hollywood. And, you know, I've just always been a writer. So I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. And believe me, being a journalist was very rewarding emotionally, but it was not rewarding financially. And, you know, nowadays I wouldn't want to work as a journalist anyway, because there's been so much hate towards journalists and even like physical attacks. So it was always a danger, but now it seems to be a particular danger. So, I mean, when I was in college, I had some, you know, my professors teach me editing because I've always been really good with words. I was a state spelling bee champion, et cetera. So, you know, it's just, I mean, I could go on for an hour, but basically I always knew I wanted to be a writer. And then the editing, teaching, consulting, et cetera, came in different steps along the way.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of our audience members, you know, they have a book inside of them. So even though they may not be authors right now, and some of them, of course, are, a lot of them kind of reach out to me and say, hey, I've been really wanting to birth this book or birth this idea. So what would you say, just from your expertise, is the first step that you would share with someone who really wants to get started as an author?
Well, I want to preface this by saying you don't have to have writing experience to write a book. I think that's a common misconception. And that's something a lot of people I work with in my consulting / coaching practice on. But really, that first step is to make a decision that you're going to write a book, because a lot of people I talk to, you know, including my late grandmother, who was finishing her book on her deathbed, you know, they think they have time. They think they have all this time that they could do it someday. And I'm sure from what you do, you know how that is. If it's not like scheduled or planned, it doesn't get done. So really just make that decision, and you don't have to. And some people, I think, have a mistaken idea when I say make that decision. I'm not saying you have to start writing it today, tomorrow, or even next month, but, you know, just really say, okay, I want to write this by 2024, for example, because we're recording this in 2023. I had to do that myself. Everything I teach and mentor people on, I practice myself. I have people I work with. I'm not one of those people who, like, just, you know, doesn't get help myself, because I'm going to sit here and be honest with you. You know, I created a ton of content and teachings on how to write your book, and I have to use it myself. So it's like, you literally have to schedule that time on your calendar as well. But really, that first critical step is making the decision that you're going to do this.
Absolutely. I love that because I feel like mindset is such just a very important thing. And it's for, you know, if you want to become an author, if you want to do anything, you have to really make up your mind, create the time and the space and so that you can execute. So that is absolutely on point. So what, you know, kind of staying along those lines, I think that sometimes it's overwhelming. Like, if we could just be real, like, it's overwhelming to want to write the book, to still have to do the coaching and do the consulting and still want to speak, you know, and things of that nature, you know, and people have different ways. Like, I coach different ways on kind of getting your content out of your mind and onto paper. So, what is, you know, some of your practices to kind of stay organized throughout the book writing process? Do you do audio notes? Do you know, kind of write things down? Are you on your computer doing it? You know, what's your process?
So for myself, I am a traditional writer, so I tend to type. I am better at writing than speaking in many ways. But with the clients I work with, I would say so some people are just doing audio notes. And with all the technology we have nowadays, that really works. You do the audio to text and you have the editing. I think I mentioned I do editing as well. So you're telling your stories. There's a lot of people that are better storytellers, like verbally, than in writing, or they simply do not want to sit behind a computer and type because for some people, that's boring as you know what. Other people use a mix. It depends on their schedule. I've had moms, for example, who are trying to do the book in between their child's soccer practices. So they will be speaking part of their book part of the time. And then the other time, they'll get up early and they'll type. So it just really depends on the individual. And that's the beauty. I know coaching and consulting have gotten a bad rap in some circles, but like that's the beauty of work with somebody who's actually done what they teach because they can like literally hold your hand through what works and what doesn't work.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's so powerful because, you know, we do wear multiple hats, especially as women, right? Let's throw that in
Oh,
the mix.
yes.
You know, and it's not as if we can just come home and don't have to cook and take care of the kids and do the family thing and just sit there and do voice notes and write and do all of that. So really it is about just finding what works for you as well. But the one thing that I really liked just in learning more about your brand and what you do is that a lot of, you know, the content that I've seen from you, you kind of say that writing experience really isn't necessary to be successful and to become an author. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Certainly. So, like I said, I have a heavy writing background, a lot of writing training. I think sometimes that intimidates people from working with me because they're like, well, of course she knows how to do this. She has this degree, she has that degree. But honestly, it's like the people that I've worked with, whether in my coaching, consulting practice, or as their editor or both, who aren't professional writers tend to write better books than people who have a lot of writing background, writing training. They don't have a lot of rules to unlearn. I am still unlearning rules at 43 years old about writing that I learned and practiced. So that's one thing. They don't have a lot of rules to unlearn. Two, they're usually, and I can't speak for everybody, but they're usually not sitting at their computer worrying about, is this a good plot point? Is this a good lead? All these writerly jargon. They're just being authentic. They're just telling their story. Cause I do have some people that do memoirs as part of like, wanting to tell their life story and also help their business. So it's like they're just acting like they're talking or writing to a friend. And honestly, especially nowadays, because like I said earlier, times have changed so much. People don't want to be preached to. They want to hear people's real stories, like the things they have dealt with. And I find that the people who don't have that writing background tend to, do better at the end of the day with once they know how to get it out, with getting it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're gonna move into what I like to call the fun part of this chit chat. And
Sure.
that is our business recharge lightning round of basically seven questions about business recharge and how you specifically recharge your business. So let's just start off with actually asking you just that. How do you recharge your business?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, a few years ago, I recharged it because I was out of the country. I was willing to take more risks. So, you know, I recharged it by hiring a coach, one that was not the cheapest coach, but I had known her for many years and she, you know, has done a lot for me. So I needed to get help and support, especially around, it's very easy to sell writing services to businesses, which is something I do. But it's like I needed a little help with selling like the coaching, consulting, and editing to individuals because it's a bigger pain point when somebody is reaching into their personal pocket, their family's pocket to, you know, make something happen. So that was a way I recharged my business.
I love that. I love that. So what advice would you give to a new business owner?
I would say get some help. And, you know, I know not everybody can afford coaching and it also be hard to find the right one, but I would say, you know, get some help. If you're using like a Facebook group to find an accountability partner, you know, there are tons of, there's just tons of support out there. So if you're texting a friend or somebody you met in an accountability group, like your three goals for today, I think that goes a long way because like I said earlier, if you don't put it on your calendar, if you don't type it or put it in writing, it can be very hard to make that happen.
Absolutely. What is the greatest lesson you learned as an entrepreneur?
Not to give up. Sometimes this is something I was guilty of a lot before, especially when writing for businesses. And I'm sure you've experienced this. You have a great conversation with somebody, they seem interested, but there's like a legit reason where they can't move forward that second. So you follow up once or twice and you don't hear from them. So you take it personally and you just like disappear. So like through this coach I've worked with, I learned like, you know, a follow-up system. Like I use less annoying CRM and I set myself reminders to follow up with people. You know, sometimes it's once a month, sometimes once every 3 months, depends on how powerful the conversation was and if you think they're really interested. So it's like that follow-up, that persistence, you know, that consistency, I think is critical.
Absolutely. And I love you just kind of mentioned a system as well. So what tools and systems do you swear by in your business?
I would definitely say less annoying CRM. It's very easy. I've actually, you know, used it. I've referred other people to use it. It's very easy to use. You can also blind carbon copy when you're writing email, you know, in your Gmail account. I'm sure it works for other providers. You can blind carbon copy it to where it will copy into your CRM. So you don't have to be looking 10 places for the last date and the last time you wrote that person, which is really helpful. Obviously, Zoom has been powerful. I've taught workshops on it. I've done a group program on it, one-on-one meetings. So Zoom has been helpful. Otter.ai, that's a transcription service. So that's something that's been really helpful. You know, the usual stuff like ClickFunnels, ActiveCampaign. Zendler is where I have like recordings for my courses and the group program I had. So it's like, and these things do add up. It's a couple $100 a month, but it's like without these systems, Calendly is really important. I think you had a similar scheduler because otherwise you're gonna go back and forth like with emails and, you know, not schedule those meetings.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, systems change the interface of my business, change how I manage my time. Like, I mean, it's just affected me in such great positive ways. And a lot of the systems you just mentioned, I also utilize. So that's really amazing as well. So how do you recharge leads and clients for client attraction?
So recharging leads. So it's like, you know, I generally will follow up with somebody every 1 to 3 months, depending on how strong of a lead it was. I've had people actually recently, two people after 2 years of follow-up, secure, you know, engage with me. So, you know, actually hire me to, one was to edit a book. The other was to help him publish his book. So that's the thing. It also depends on the industry you're in. Like when you're talking with people who want to write books, and please don't take this as an insult, anybody out there, but they're more prone to procrastination because it's not mm-hmm. necessarily an immediate need. I mean, I've had some people who've come to me and said they need to do it immediately because they had processed a trauma or something of that nature, or they just felt that, you know, their higher power, their God wanted them to write that book right away. But for most people, it's a someday thing. So I think it's even more important to follow up with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you mentioned that, you know, you invested in a coach, which I always say every coach needs a coach. And you mentioned that was a big investment. But what's the last big investment you made in your business?
I would say the last big investment I made in my business besides a coach was, this was maybe a year and a half ago, putting on a summit. Nice. Because I had to hire a team to do that, because with all the tech, I mean, I know tech, but it's like with tech, I actually hired a writer to do a lot of the writing because they recommended that, because it's very hard for me to write for myself and my own business. So they, you know, and I invested in a graphic designer. So, I mean, this was thousands of dollars and, you know, I didn't necessarily make it back through the Summit VIP upgrades. This was before the market was so saturated, but I did get a few clients from it. So I did, you know, come pretty close to breaking even on it. So, you know, things like that. And I find that that's another issue that a lot of entrepreneurs have, especially coaches and writers, not being able to physically because of their finances, or not being willing to hire people for help.
Wow, that's really good, you know, because I absolutely agree with you. But the thing that really stood out is that you invested, like, you're like, okay, I may not be the strongest, or you just may not have the time, you know, you invested in that. And I think that is one of the things that really stops a lot of entrepreneurs from really getting their brand and their business out there. They may want to do something as simple as even a webinar, you know, or a live stream or whatever, but you know, may not be as tech savvy, but seek other people that can assist you. If you want to write your book and you're like, I really don't even know where to start, Stephanie got you, right? So you can reach out to her. So yeah, I love that. But there's no excuse to just sit and not take action, basically. Yeah.
No. Sorry, I thought you were done.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm like amazed at the people, and you know, don't think I'm knocking you, but I'm amazed at the people that'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars for vacation, but won't invest in their businesses.
Oh, yes.
And I see the value of both. I see the value of both. But if you're at a point in your business where you're not making money, you're thinking about going back to a full-time job, and then I see pictures of you on Facebook taking like a cruise, it's okay. But just get the priority straight. I think like denial is a very powerful thing. And it's like, if you want to write the book, make the decision. If you want to have the business, make the decision. Understand that sacrifices will have to be made, but they're usually worth it in the long run.
Yes, yes, I love that, because it is absolutely true. Or you see that person with the new gadget,
Tesla,
or a new purse,
yeah,
it's like, really? Come on now. I love it. And lastly, what is something that someone would be surprised about concerning your business?
I think like a lot of people think that like when I'm on summits, for example, I'm in a lot of other people's summits, or I do speaking in their Facebook groups or for their networking groups. A lot of people assume that I get paid up front for those. I don't. I know there are speakers that do. My coach taught me what's called a speak to sell model, where you're basically giving, you know, value, and then ideally they're going to come to you. So I think there's a misconception out there that because I'm seen speaking a lot and my graphics are really nice, et cetera, that I'm like a millionaire. I'm not. I would like to be, you know, but it's just, there's a lot of, I think, misconceptions about what goes on in business and how, you know, for example, I know, I don't think a lot of people assume that podcast guests get paid, but a lot of people assume that anytime someone is speaking or teaching, they're getting paid. And in many cases, that's not true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we will absolutely have all of your information here on the episode. But what do you have kind of coming up where our guests can follow you, or just in general, what's the best way to contact you? Give us all the deets.
So, yes, one of the best ways to get in touch with me is, so I have a free ebook called 3 Things You Must Know Before Writing Your Book. That's at gettheirattentionnow.com/book. gettheirattentionnow.com/book. So you can sign up for that. You'll get my email address. I'm not one of those people that will email you to death. also on my general website, gettheirattentionnow.com, there's an application for a discovery session. So, you know, that's basically where we talk, no pressure, and decide if working together is a good fit. You know, you can find my name, Stephanie Mojica, on Facebook and LinkedIn. I do have an Instagram, but I'm not really using it anymore as the time this recording, because things have changed so much on that platform. So you can see tons and tons of content on there, especially the carousels, which people told me are really helpful. Things like 5 steps you must take to publish your book, whether you should self-publish or go through an agent, etc. So you can find the content there. But really, the best place to find me nowadays is on my website, Facebook, or LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I will tell you that I myself learned a lot just about what we need to do if we want to write a book, some steps that we can take. And then you gave some really good answers on our lightning round for Business Recharge as well. So it's been so awesome to have you on today's episode. And, you know, I know that we will have you back in some other form as well with the Mac Institute and Business Recharge brand. So thanks so much. Any final thoughts or words of inspiration before we close?
So I just first want to say thank you, Felicia. And yes, sure. I would definitely be honored to collaborate and do other things together. I would just say, whether you're thinking about writing a book or, you know, some other big goal in your business, just make that decision. It's really important to not give in to that someday syndrome, because I think COVID has especially taught us this. Someday's not guaranteed. It really is not. I mean, I just don't want to see people, you know, and I'll just be a little dramatic here, but it's just a real truth. I don't want to see people dying with their stories untold. At the end of the day, if your life has come to end, are you going to be thinking about that Tesla or that vacation, or whether you fulfilled your dream of writing a book, having a summit, starting a podcast, etc.?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again. And we hope that you got recharged from this episode. Until next time, take care of yourself and one another.